What up, everybody? It's your girl, Ashtress, and this is Keeping You in the Loop. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have so much stuff to get into, so much stuff to talk about. It's been a while, of course. I'm sorry for the delay of the last episode coming out, 184, but this is episode 184, Get Active, and I am going to be spilling tea on type of things like Jason Lee and Cardi B. We're going to be talking about Will and Jada, Joe Budden, Kanika Jenkins, Tupac Shakur, Ciara, Beyonce, and the Renaissance Tour and where it's heading. Cardi B, again, is in the news with Tasha K, Kevin Gates, Jason Derulo, J-Lo, Carly Russell, Sergio Brown, Tory Lanez, T.I. and Tiny and King. Their son King has made the news. Was celebrity gossip news, of course. And then we're going to talk a little bit about Drake's album, Sexy Red, her sex tape. And we're going to get into a little bit of the BET Awards, Hip Hop Awards. So without further ado, guys, we're going to jump straight into... let's see. Jason Lee kind of put out a diss to Cardi B, but he wasn't dissing her. Okay? He wasn't dissing her at all. He was basically explaining the situation that happened at the Harper's Bazaar event in 2018 where Cardi left with a lump on her head. Allegations of Nicki Minaj saying that she got beat up by Ra Ali. Even Jason Lee tried to say that she got beat up by Ra Ali as well. And Cardi B is saying that's not it. She got hit by security. This is a story that she's been telling. It's just a mess. A mess. Because Jason Lee is supposed to be Cardi B's friend. Very close friend at that. And why would you say that about her? Even if it did happen, that's your friend. You don't want to just be like, yeah, my friend got beat up, da-da-da-da-da. You know, it's like, I don't understand it. I really don't understand it with Jason Lee. They say he crosses a lot of people, but then he tried to apologize with his long statement. Cardi B seems like she wasn't buying it, but she hasn't made a public statement, really. They've been going back and forth. Well, it wasn't a back and forth. It was a fan said something pertaining to the situation of what Jason Lee said, because the audio was leaked recently of Jason Lee talking about the situation. Now, he was talking about the situation as if it happened 5 years ago, but he was talking about it like it happened yesterday. And like he knows exactly what happened and who hit whom, who got beat up by whom. But yeah, Cardi B is going with the story that she got hit by security, elbowed by security, after she threw a shoe at Nicki Minaj. But there are reports saying Ra Ali did tag that ass. So I'm hoping that Cardi seems very real. Not saying Nicki's really fake, but come on now. Come on with it. We all know. We all fucking know how Nicki Minaj can be. But I've never seen a side of Cardi where she will be lying about getting attacked or anything. So, I don't know. Like I said, I'm going to stick with Cardi's story. I love Nicki Minaj. I love Cardi B. I hate that they beef. I wish they could just sit down and make music together, but that would be in such a perfect world, right? All right. So let's move on to the separation of Jada and Will. They separated back in 2016 is what they're saying and reports are saying. She has a new book that's coming out, and I think it's just a cash grab. She wants to, you know, I don't know what happened with her and Will where they want to announce the separation, but she just wants to talk about Tupac all fucking day. She literally does. Like, she wants to talk about Tupac all day. Like, oh, we had this great chemistry, but it was like a friendship chemistry. But no, I ain't buying it. So. And tell my dog to shut up. All right. So, yeah, Jada and Will broke up. They're not going to get a divorce is what they're saying. But I think what's going to happen is in the next years to come, they're going to finally get that divorce. And when they get that divorce, they are going to. When they get that divorce, they are going to go for a cash grab. Okay. We're going to see Will doing other projects. If he gets to do that after the Oscar slap. Jada said that he hasn't called her his, called him, I mean called, he hasn't called her his wife in such a long time. In such a long time, guys. And she said that was the first time me hearing him call me his wife in years. But we think the slap came from, and this is what Jada is saying that aired in the book. She is saying that Chris Rock tried to ask her out. Chris Rock tried to ask her out after he heard the news of him, her and Jada, I mean, Will and Jada splitting. Now, I guess this was a Hollywood rumor that only people in Hollywood and other celebrities have already known, people that know Jada and Will. I feel like they have already, they know. And it's just can be a stupid situation. I don't even want to call it sad. I just want to call it stupid. It's just stupid to me. Why are you airing out all your business? Why are you doing a tell-all book? Like, do you need money this bad, or do you really want to put out the truth about you and Will, which we already knew? You guys are swingers. Will probably, possibly, might be bisexual. You're definitely bisexual. They're saying that Swizz Beatz and Alicia Keys are the same way. But that's just a rumor. Just a rumor. All right. So, we talked about Chris Rock trying to date Jada, and that was probably the ammunition on why Will smacked him. I don't think it was just he kept bringing up her name, but it's like, shit, if you want to holler at me or you want to holler at my girl or my ex-girl and you talking shit about her on stage, like, you ain't trying to holler at her. So, yeah, that's that situation. Let's get into this Joe Budden and Birdman situation with Drake. Oh, my God. It was just, I do not have any clip of Joe Budden talking about Drake. I don't have the extensive, long paragraph that Drake typed out on Instagram towards Joe Budden, but I can tell you a few things that it said. Okay, the blogs have been talking, they've been mentioning it, and they basically reread what Drake posted. Now, Drake has posted, you have failed at rap, talking to Joe Budden, basically stating that they're what you do, sitting on that couch, being a podcaster, gossiping about other people, that's the way you feed your family, and that's the way you pay your bills. Well, Joe said that was absolutely correct. He said he hasn't failed at rapping either. He's just, you know, kind of over it, kind of done. But, yeah, so that's the tea. I wish it was longer. Like, I wish I could really dive into this topic. But it's complete bullshit to me that Drake's upset that someone critiques his album, but you put your album out there. Now, I understand from Drake's point of view that, you know, hey, I put this work out here. I want everybody to love my work. I put so much work into it. I've been touring at the same time. Him and Beyonce had just wrapped up the tours, and Taylor Swift. And, yeah, Birdman chimed in after Drake's dad had a response to Joe. And then Gilly the Kid steps in. Says that he never wrote for Wayne, saying, and Birdman said he never made a dollar off Gilly. But do we think Gilly's lying saying that he worked really right for Wayne? And I want to know who the writers were on this Drake album. Drake has been known to use ghostwriters before. He tried to allege that he has a pen, and he probably does, because I think Drake wrote for other people, especially like 21 Savage and with him doing her Lost album. They kind of wrote each other verses back and forth, which I think was pretty dope. But Drake's album, and I wish I would have saved this for last, because I do want to get into his album review. He has a lot of tracks on the album. One of my favorite, Bahama Promises, Daylight, Fear of Heights, Calling for You featuring 21 Savage, okay, Virginia Beach. And everyone thought when he did Virginia Beach, and I'm sorry I'm going off subjects, we were talking about Joe Budden and Drake, but this is the Drake album that Joe Budden was referring to. Basically, like, the album was not trash, but it does have to grow on you. And Joe Budden was kind of right. You know, Drake is not really making, I don't want to say he's not making music for his age group, because Drake will be 37 towards the end of this month of October. And I don't know. I don't know if I feel like Drake's not making music for his age group, because I'm in Drake's age group, and I believe that he, you know, did a phenomenal job on this album, especially while he's touring, trying to put this album out. He did say he was going to take a break after dropping this album, which I think he is the god of hip-hop right now. He's the one, he's the king. Okay, we got Cole. We got Kendrick, and I'm not going to go down my top five list, but I got Cole, Kendrick, and Drake. Wayne and Nicki as my top five. And Kendrick is slowly falling off of this list because he's not making so much music. Now, Drake has extensive catalog, amazing, you know, creativity in his work. The beats are, I love them. He picked up his own style where he has the singing and then he has the rapping. And then he kind of does both on certain tracks. And then he even has it to where he switches the beats. I think that that's pretty fly. I really like that. The Drake album is growing on me. In this sense, it's the rappers, the artists versus the media. Okay, and Joe Budden is part of the media, number one podcast, hip-hop podcast out there, and he just does a phenomenal job. He has five other co-hosts. If you have not checked out the Joe Budden podcast, make sure you do. Just a wonderful podcast, something to get you through the week if you're not listening to me, all right? All right, guys, we're going to move on to our next subject. We're going to talk about Kanika Jenkins. Rest in peace, her soul. What a beautiful young lady she seemed to be. And her mother has reached a settlement with the Crown Royal Plaza Hotel. That settlement has, the number of that settlement has not been public. There's no way you can find it. I Googled, tried to search, couldn't find it. All right. So, I just wanted to give you an update on that if you have not heard. But Kanika Jenkins was the young lady years ago back at that Crown Plaza Hotel in Chicago at a, looks like a hotel party. And she kind of wandered off as she looked really, really drunk. Barely could stand up, barely could open doors. So, they're trying to figure out how the fuck did she open this freezer door, which was very heavy. And they're trying to, her mother is still wanting answers, even though she got the settlement. Let's move on to Tupac Shakur. Keith E.D. All right. Is the alleged murderer of Tupac. There are clips of him talking years ago, stating that Diddy offered to pay him $1 million to kill Tupac. Now, I believe in this situation, Orlando is the actual shooter, but he is no longer with us. I don't believe. So that's why they're going after Keefe D. They believe he was in the car with Orlando during the shooting when they shot up the car with Suge Knight and Tupac in it and mysteriously just missed Suge Knight. All right. So that story is still developing. There's going to be a lot to talk about with that. I think things aren't made public yet with that. Just because of the investigation they got going on. I mean, this has been over 20 years. This is like a 26-year investigation they have been doing in Vegas. All right, so Ciara sat down with plenty of people, including the Shade Room. And this particular interview that I'm talking about, she wasn't sitting with the Shade Room, but I can't think who she was sitting with because I never seen these people before. Like, a lot of these people are sitting down with people we do not know. Like how Drake sat down with Bobby Altoff, gave Bobby Altoff a name. Or if I'm saying her name right, but Bobby, the white girl that has the dry humor, stole her style from Funny Marco. But she claims that she doesn't know who Funny Marco is. She don't know none of these people. She ain't know who Drake was. She don't know not one of his songs. So, whatever. Ciara says that Future left a bad taste in her mouth. That's when she knew that she had to move on. She said it was just an icky feeling. And it probably was all the women that he was sleeping with behind her back to make her feel like that. Especially during pregnancy. You don't want to go through that. You don't want to go through anything like that. You know what I'm saying? So, kudos to Ciara. But sis, they say she settled down with Russell Wilson just to settle. But I don't think Russell Wilson is a settle. I mean, don't get me wrong. He is probably corny. But he seems like a loving, romantic partner. Seems like he's very caring. Seems like he's very emotional. Like, he's emotional aware. He's emotional available. So I don't know why would they make that interpretation that, you know, yeah, that she just settled down with Russell Wilson. So Beyonce and Taylor Swift were posted up in the movie theater because Taylor Swift, Eras Tour. So Taylor Swift's tour is heading to the AMC theaters. It was released over the weekend and people are going crazy for it. They're turning the whole movie theater into a concert. And the same thing is going to happen December 1st with Beyonce, okay? So her tour is also going to AMC theaters. I think it's just amazing. You know, just more money she can make. Like, she needs it, but, you know, who doesn't need money? Shout out to Beyonce. Shout out to Taylor Swift. And shout out to Drake, 50 Cent. And those are the four that I have that had amazing tours. Oh, another girl. I never listened to her music, but you got to check her out. Victoria Monet. She has the wind blowing. She has the long blonde hair. And she is giving Beyonce. So Beyonce better step aside and let Victoria Monet come through. Because she is serving, honey. She is serving. All right. So we talked about Cardi B earlier with Jason Lee. But now we're going to talk about Cardi B and Tasha K. It's not no big news. But, you know, of course, Tasha K is getting all of her finances combed through by a fine tooth comb by auditors and lawyers and courts officials. And they're not going to include her $4 million in this bankruptcy that she's trying to file. They ain't letting off on this. I don't know if Cardi is paying the motherfucking court system to keep this girl in court, but she said she's going to drag her for years. You know, it reminds me of when Cardi said on Love and Hip Hop, "You got beef with me forever." You know, that forever. So, anyways, that's what this reminds me of. Cardi's not letting up. Not letting up at all. All right, this is a really hard subject for me to talk about because I literally gagged. Couldn't watch the whole video. Kevin Gates does a show, brings a young lady up on stage, and literally leans her head back after he serenades her and spits in her fucking mouth. This shit is the nastiest shit I've ever seen. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying like spitting in people's mouths is the nastiest thing that can ever happen during sex, but I think you should leave it during sex. Okay. Like, why the fuck is you spitting in people's mouths that is just like random shit? Just random. And this is probably not the only girl Mafia's spitting. He probably done took girls all across the fucking nation and spit in their mouth on stage. But this one just got caught by cameras. Jason Derulo has sexual allegations against one of his signed female artists. I did not catch her name, but she is she really doesn't matter in this situation. And I hate to say it like that. She does matter, but far as the name that just matters is Jason Derulo. You know what I mean? Like Jason Derulo, his name sticks out. He's a big international artist, and she is trying to sue him for sexual allegations, where he's trying to kind of sue her back for defamation of character. So it's just, that's an ongoing story. They never exactly said what Jason Derulo did for his sexual allegations, but there are allegations pent up, and this is a developing story, so I'm going to keep you in the loop with it as soon as I hear more news. All right, so let's go. J-Lo, Jennifer Lopez, that's married to Ben Affleck, bigger than thou. Jenny from the Block. All right, now Tommy Davidson. Now, we all know Tommy Davidson from, like, Booty Call. You know, he was on Living Color. He did a couple other movies. Really funny guy. And he talked about how J-Lo won't even speak to him, though. He said he seen her after she did Selena. He said every time he see her in Hollywood, she won't even speak and look his way. But she was all up his ass, you know what I'm saying, all on him during Living Color. Because, you know, she was the backup dancer. And it's like, girl, you was just a dancer. Like, and now you can't even speak to him. Now you bigger than him, got more money than him. So you feel like you can't speak to him. And I think that that's real corny. I do not like that. I do not like when people do that. I just think it's a disgrace, because I think you should treat people like how you want to be treated. And if you was in that situation, you know, but they get so much money and they get that fame, they don't think about shit. They don't think about nobody no more. Carly Russell, found guilty. Okay. She has to pay $18,000 a year fine. And then she has a year in jail. And then she has another $1,900 fine. It was like two fines for $850 that was on top of the $18,000 fine. Is this right? I mean, when you fake a missing person report and you hit international news, I mean, nationwide news, and you say you blame it on a child, you saw a child, but then you say you were pimped out and raped for a day and then you escaped. You know how long it takes them people to escape from them type of situations when you're held captive? Not a day. Not a day, sweetie. Not a fucking day. So she was, you know, she was at the scene. You know, she's pulled over off the highway or off the road and said that she seen a little child running behind. I know she was in the South somewhere, but I just cannot remember what state this was. And I should have looked it up when I was looking up her charges and stuff. But, yeah. Carly Russell is going to jail for a year. Now, she's trying to appeal this so she doesn't have to go to jail. But where the fuck she going to get $18,000 from? Plus the $1,900 that she owe. I ain't trying to count nobody's pockets, but I'm just saying. Just saying. Now, who else is in trouble is Sergio Brown. He has been, now he used to be an NFL football player. Don't ask me what team. But he has been deported from Mexico to the U.S. in connection to his mother's murder. They found his mother a couple months ago laying outside, body dead, deleted. And she was 73 years old, and he is the blame for this. They got him under investigation. He tried to say he was out of town. It's the FBI. FBI is trying to frame him and all this other jazz. So that is another ongoing story that we're going to figure out what's going to happen, because somebody has to get charged for the mother death of his mother. But again, this is another story that they're not putting so much in the public because of the evidence. And I don't know if it's because, you know, Sergio Brown seems like a smart guy. It's crazy, but smart. Narcissistic, but smart. And he seems like he kind of knows his way around the law a little bit. So I think they're not going to put out too much information. They're not. Until he is actually charged and they get some hardcore evidence that he actually killed his mother. Now, if he did kill his mother, that's some fucked up shit. But you know, all these fucking football players be having CTE and shit. They be crazy. They be crazy. I wouldn't trust them with a long stick. All right. Let's move into, you know, somebody else that's in trouble. Tory Lanez. He's moved to general population after he's been in lockdown away from general population. And now he's saying he fears for his life. Did you think about that before you got drunk as shit and decided to pop a gun off and pop somebody in the fucking foot? Because like, it was a Tory Lanez situation. I don't believe he exactly tried to shoot Meg Thee Stallion. Even though there were allegations of him saying, "Dance, bitch," and he's shooting a gun, I don't know if that's true. I don't know how much of the story that Meg Thee Stallion was telling, the story Kelce was telling, and the story Tory Lanez really didn't get to tell his story because he didn't take the stand. But his lawyers and everything, of course, talked for him. You know, he claimed he's innocent. But yeah, I think that he has to learn his lesson. Because Tory Lanez been going around thinking he could beat up everybody because he got that small man complex, the Napoleon complex. And it's like, you can't do that. You can't go around just because you don't like somebody didn't tap you up, so you want to have you and your entourage jump them. Shit like that. Makes no sense to me. But again, I believe Tory, Meg, and Kelce were so drunk that night. And the bodyguard doesn't want to talk much because he doesn't want to get anybody in trouble. But I don't know if I really believe Tory Lanez was really trying to shoot Meg Thee Stallion. Was Kelce trying to shoot her? Maybe. Because imagine how the story was told. And I'm not going to reiterate the story because the story is so fucked up. I believe that her and Kelce got into a fight. And in order for the women to stop fighting, I believe Tory Lanez shot in the air. Now, was Meg Thee Stallion out of the car when he shot in the air? But people say they seen flashes inside of the vehicle, but there's no bullet holes inside the vehicle. So it's like a lot of questions. A lot of questions for this case. And Tory Lanez is locked up for 10 years for this. So he'll probably be deported after this. Now, he married his baby mama. And, you know, like I said, I said this in the podcast before, where he tried to make it like, oh, my God, you know, my wife, my child. And it's like, nigga, we ain't never heard of you having no fucking child until you got in trouble. Now you got a 7-year-old son you care for. Just stating facts. All right. Tiny and T.I. King goes on a podcast. Again, these rappers and celebrities, D-list celebrities, C-list celebrities, B-list celebrities, like I say, even Drake, A-list celebrity, they're going on these platforms that nobody even fucking knows these people. I don't know if they're getting paid or not, or if they're just doing this because they like their platform, which is nothing wrong with it. But at the same time, it's like, we have so many Drink Champs, Joe Budden Podcast, Gillian Wallow, Cameron and Mace, so many other, you know, just podcasts that are up there. They could go to where their voice can get listened to and people will actually appreciate You know what I'm saying? They'll appreciate them for actually going on these podcasts, these Black-owned podcasts. I mean, Drake still have not did Breakfast Club, things like that. And I don't want to just keep saying Drake, but in this situation, King. King is Tia and Tiny's young, one of the youngest, because Eris, their daughter, is the youngest. And they have, and she's just singing her ass off. She little girl, so cute. She can sing so well. But I guess King didn't get any of his parents' talent, not rapping and not singing. And he says that he lived with his grandmother majority of the time that the Family Hustle was recorded. So they said they would go pick up King on the weekend or whenever they have to do filming, they would pick him up, pick the other kids up. Well, I don't even know if the other kids didn't live with him. King's so fucking bad, I probably see why they ain't want his ass living with him. Little boy was off the hook. Major, cute. King, Deja, cute. King, Eris, cute. King, Like, the rest of the kids, cute. Damani, all of them. Not King. King just seemed like he the bad seed out of all of them. And I hate to say it like that, but, I think that explains his behavior. Even though a lot of us that are raised with our grandparents, we are real well-mannered, very clean, things like that, because, you know, our grandmas didn't play that shit. So, make a long story short, is I'm trying to figure out, well, why the fuck this nigga act crazy? Why the fuck is he in Waffle House trying to fight people over and throwing sandwiches on the floor and shit? And then he want to record it. You know, I don't understand what these people, and you can't just blame it on a younger generation. It's everybody. Everybody has these phones, computers, laptops, tablets, and they just feel like they have to upload everything to the fucking internet. Like, everything has to go on Instagram or Shade, I mean, not Shade, Instagram or Twitter or Facebook. I mean, a lot of people ain't fucking with Facebook. A lot of people's shit gets recorded and then they, you know, once they have a name for themselves, they get them a Facebook. So, King, I don't know. I want to do some more digging with this. Like, I really want to know more about him and, you know, because it's like we're tallying up his behavior. You know, we're telling him, why do you act like this? Why do you do the things that you do? You know? Not going to stay too heavy on that. Let's skip around our subjects and go to the BET Hip Hop Awards. Okay? Carisha Please wins again for Best Podcast. Only have 4 episodes out this year. Don't know how to fuck. I mean, of course she's getting great episodes. You know, Diddy's paying these people to come sit down with her. And he's paying for her whole production and everything. Not hating. You know, but I got it out the mud. Still trying to get it out the mud with this podcast. So make sure you like and share. And make sure you come back and listen for more. But, yeah. BET Hip Hop Awards was going down. Glorilla performed. I mean, So Def performed. I mean, they had Bow Wow, Brat. JD did Criss Cross part. He opened up with that. Ludacris was there. I mean, this was a major fucking performance. If you missed it, you need to go back onto YouTube and figure it out. Or Google it. Was YouTube just going to come up? So I ain't going to go. Just go to YouTube. All right. They had a female Cypher. And Carisha, aka Young Miami, and JT will be putting out an album called Raw. Real Ass Whores is the abbreviation for Raw. And I mean, that's what they abbreviated. And they are coming out with the album October 20th. But JT is supposed to be coming out. This was just a rumor, not solidified yet, but JT's supposed to be coming out with her own album, and we're gonna see what this sounds like. her, and she's not with Young Miami at the time. But they, Young Miami, City Girls, they are putting out an album. Something to look forward to. Nicki Minaj's album, I can't wait. I cannot wait. I don't know. I don't want to be like, oh, let's do a listening party, and then I listen to the album and it's garbage, and I have nothing for you guys to listen to because I didn't like Nan song on there. Let's go into a little bit more of Drake's album. We're going to talk about, let's see here. Okay, so Polar Opposite is number 23. I'm going backwards, guys. Polar Opposite is number 23. Polar Opposites, number 23. Number 22 is Away From Home. 21 is Another Late Night featuring Lil Yachty. Rich Baby Daddy featuring Sexy Red. It's a little ratchet song. He has a song Gently with Bad Bunny. BBL, which is an interlude. Number 18, 8 a.m. in Charlotte, 17. All the Parties featuring Chief Keef. I really didn't like that song at all. What Will Pluto Do? That's number 15. Number 14, Members Only featuring Party Next Door. Number 13 is Drew Picasso. Number 12, Screw the World Interlude. That is like, you know, some DJ Screw type stuff. Screwed up music. I like it. Of course, Drake's not screwed up, but I would love to hear his voice screwed. Like his singing, kind of screwed. Tried Our Best, number 11. Number 10 is Bahama Promises, one of my favorite. Slime You Out, featuring SZA. I like the song, but SZA's voice is like so, like, it's not ugly. It's nothing wrong with her voice. It's just like, I'm tired of hearing it. Because she's like the top of R&B. 7969 Santa is the name of number 8. Number 7 is I Don't Give a Fuck featuring Yeet, which I don't know who that is. One of my favorites, First Person Shooter, is J. Cole. Daylight is number 5. Number 4, Daylight is one of my favorites as well. And then number 4 is Fear of Heights. I like that song. Calling for You by 20 featuring Drake and 21 Savage. Of course, this is Drake album we're talking about. I don't know why I said Drake and 21 Savage, but it's featuring 21 Savage. And then number 2 is Amen featuring Tizo Touchdown. Don't know who that is. And then number 1 is Virginia Beach. Now, Virginia Beach, I really thought he was going to go in and push a T, but he didn't. He didn't at all. All right, so Sexy Red is on the album, and she, the week that she, that Drake aired this album, and she was labeled as a feature, you know what happened? Her sex tape dropped. It looked so horrible. It looked like she was in pain. It looked like she was having fun. It looked like this nigga was just beating her shit to the dryness. Chafed his dick. Because we ain't seen not a lick of nothing on there. Then the kids and everybody going, not the kids, but you know the younger crowd is going, well, how your pussy pink and your booty hole brown when we saw your pussy and it's brown. But then she said, common sense will tell you, if you fuck pussy, you would know that a woman that is of brown color has a dark vagina. So that what was going back and forth with that. Sexy Red says she felt embarrassed, humiliated, all the nine, because somebody put this out. But it's like, I don't know, she's not a good actor. Because I've been on camera crying. You see my pussy that dry. I'm be on camera crying like, oh my God, I can't believe this. I love him. We was together. You know, on some shit like that. Like, this is straight up revenge porn. And I don't know if she's seeking legal, you know, situations, like legal charges against this guy that actually put out her porn tape. Or did she do it? So, guys, that is all I have for you. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate you guys each and every week that you come to my my page and listen, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and other six different platforms that I cannot list right now. Just a rundown, had a hell of a week. Had a great week. Got some great news going on. My child and her education. So I'm excited about that. And I have a teenager now. If that tells my age, I have a teenager now. And it's going to be a hell of a week. Sunday, tomorrow is football Sunday. So I hope your favorite team wins. My team is the Browns. We know we're not winning. We have two players down, probably three. I think three or four at this point. Great players that are, Deshaun Watson is out with I don't know if it's a torn rotator cuff, but he's having pain in his shoulder, where his rotator cuff would be. Chubbs got his leg broken. Nick Chubbs got his leg broken. And another guy, I cannot say his name because he's African or something, from African descent or African country. And he has a very weird last name. And I didn't mean to add this into my podcast, but I just wanted to give you guys a little rundown on how I've been doing, if you care at all. But I hope you guys do well. I am sending positive energy through this microphone to you. I hope you have a wonderful week. I'm going to get back to you guys with some more tea soon as some more stories pop up. And we still might have to do a listening party for my favorite, for my playlist for Drake. That might be something I might have to do. We're going to see what his numbers project. Actually, his number should have projected yesterday. So we'll see. That's what I'll do. I'll try to do another podcast, just giving you guys an update on what numbers projected what. What new music is coming out. Like I said, we got the City Girls. We got Nicki Minaj. Cardi B is coming next year. And so on. Drake finally came out. I think Future is going to drop. I think they're all going to try to get all this shit out before the end of the year. So I'll be here to be listening with you guys. You guys have a wonderful week. And I'll get back to you. This is Asterisk, and this is Keeping You in the Loop.